Matthew chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, turn with me if you would. Matthew chapter 24. It's been a blessing to be at Central Baptist Church in Southington, Connecticut. Am I saying that name right? Southington. We are in Oakland, Maryland. We're as far west as you can go and still be in Maryland. So if you know where Pittsburgh is, just come pretty much straight south of Pittsburgh, maybe a little east. That's where we're at. Most people don't think of Maryland being that far west, but that's where we are, and God's blessed us, and we're excited what the Lord's doing. It's been a blessing. Yesterday was a fantastic day, I'm telling you. Last night I went to bed, my heart was full, my heart was stirred up, and I'm excited to serve God, and it was a good day. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church, for putting that on and allowing me to be a part of it. And isn't Brother Thomas a blessing, Brother Ab Thomas? I thank God for Brother Ab Thomas. And I was thinking when he was teaching Sunday school this morning, I was weeping, and my heart was stirred just to be grateful to God and to tell people I love them. And I was thinking of the hundreds of thousands of teenagers and children, probably in the millions indirectly, that his life has touched. And the people he's impacted for the gospel. And thank you, Brother Thomas. We love you. And we thank God for you. And Brother Moore, I mean, this guy can preach. He can sing. He was telling me he's a carpenter. He does carpentry. I hate preachers that can do all this stuff. Man alive. Brother Moore has been a good friend for a long time. I thank God for him. Matthew chapter number 24. I want to begin reading in verse number 37, and I'm going to read down through verse 44. And when we get to verse 44, if you would, I'd like for us to read that verse together in unison. I'll start in verse 37, but when we get to verse 44, I'll pause a moment, and then we'll all join in, read that together. Verse 37 says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Now verse 44, let's read this all together. Ready? "Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." I want to speak this morning on the subject, ready or not. Ready or not. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father in heaven, I thank you again for the opportunity we have to assemble together in your name on your day. And I thank you for what's already taken place in my heart and soul. The Sunday school hour and the music and the fellowship with your people. And now, Lord, we come to you with our Bibles open. We believe this book is your word. And we're asking you to speak to us. We're asking you to give us direction, challenge us, encourage, correct us, Lord, where we need correction. And God, we want your will to be done in this body of believers, but also in each of our lives as individuals. And so make us willing to hear, Lord, make us willing to make adjustments and submit to your word. I ask, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I yield my will to you. I present my body anew for this hour, for this message. And I pray with all my heart, dear Lord, that you would speak through me to our hearts and lives. Have your way now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The last 2 years, we learned that how easily and how quickly our calendars can become meaningless. In 2020, I literally took my calendar about April, about this time of year, 2020, I literally took my calendar and threw it in the trash can because everything I'd planned had gone out the window. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." How many people understand what that verse is saying? We've experienced that firsthand. You have no idea what tomorrow holds. I don't know what 2022 holds. We have ideas. I've made plans. But we don't know what this year holds. It may be, we don't know what trials we're going to face in the rest of the year. We don't know what blessings we may experience. Some of us have folks we've been praying for many years. 2022 may be the year that they come to Christ. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There may be setbacks this year. We often think of, you know, the negative things. You don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, there may be blessings this year. God may do things that we never dreamed He would do this coming year. We don't know. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know this. This could very well be the year that Jesus Christ comes back again. If we would judge the importance of a doctrine by how often it is mentioned in Scripture, if that would determine the importance of a doctrine by how often it's mentioned in Scripture, then the doctrine of the second coming is very, very important, along with the doctrine of salvation. Salvation and the second coming are mentioned more in Scripture than any other doctrine in all of Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, the second coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned over and over and over and over. I want to show you something interesting. If you would, keep your place here and come back to the book of Jude, if you would, just before Revelation, second last book of your Bible. I hope you keep your place there, Matthew, because we're going to come back to that. But look at Jude and verse number 14. Right? Second last book of your Bible right there. Verse 14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam," seventh man down from Adam. This is very, very early in the history of mankind. Very, very early in our Bible. And look what his message was. "Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Now, we know Jesus came the first time, but he didn't come the first time with 10,000 of his saints. This is obviously Enoch was preaching and prophesying, the seventh from Adam. He was prophesying of the second coming of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, over and over and over and over, the Bible teaches of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is impossible to believe this book and not believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. If we're going to take the Bible at face value, and we should, if we're going to believe that God says what He means and means what He says, then we have to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again. It's all through the Bible. To be very honest with you, I would not attend a church that didn't preach this old book. I wouldn't want to have any part of a church that didn't preach the Bible. And let me take it a step farther. I wouldn't want to be a part of a church that didn't preach on the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is a vital Bible doctrine. Now, if you would, come back to Matthew, there, verse 24, our text. And this section here, this message, this discussion by the Lord Jesus Christ, He's having with His disciples, it's what we call the Olivet Discourse. It's chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew. If you come back to the first couple verses of verse 24, it says verse 3, it says chapter 24, and it says verse 3, "As He sat upon the Mount of Olives, The disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So the disciples approach him. He had mentioned things about the temple there, and they say, "All right, when's this going to happen? And by the way, Lord, what are the signs of your return to earth when you come back again?" And so chapter 24 and 25, Jesus is giving to his disciples, he has this discourse as they're on Mount Olives, and he's giving to them the signs that are going to be associated with his return when he comes back again. Then in verse 44 that we read, he says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." He's telling them this: listen, I'm coming back again whether you're ready or not. I'm coming back again whether you're ready or not. How can I be ready for the return of Jesus Christ? You say, "Preacher, what do I have to do to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ?" Let me give you a few thoughts this morning. Number one, if I'm going to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ, I must first accept what was accomplished at the first coming of Jesus Christ. If I do not understand and accept what Jesus Christ did the first time he came, I will never be ready for him the second time he comes. What was the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming? His coming the first time was to provide salvation from sin and from hell. Fact of the matter is, we will never be ready for the second coming of Christ until we accept what was accomplished the first time he came. First time Jesus came, he came to die on the cross. Jesus was a tremendous teacher. We had some great sessions yesterday on Sunday school teaching and techniques and abilities. Jesus is one of the greatest teachers that has ever taught. He's a master teacher. I suggest to our Sunday school teachers in some of our training is that if you want to study the teaching methods of the Lord Jesus Christ. He used question answer, he used illustrations, he used everyday objects. He was a phenomenal teacher, but Jesus did not come the first time to be a teacher. Jesus Christ performed phenomenal miracles. He raised the dead. The blind he made to see, the deaf he could, the lame he could raise up and walk. And the power of God was so evident upon the Lord Jesus Christ that Nicodemus came to him. He says, "No man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus was a phenomenal miracle worker, but he didn't come to perform miracles. Jesus Christ affected society. He turned that Jewish society upside down. He shook the status quo. He rattled the leadership, the hypocritical and the superficial leadership of the Pharisees. He just rattled them to the core. But he didn't come to be a social worker. Jesus came to planet Earth for one reason and one reason only the first time, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're here this morning and you have never accepted what Jesus Christ did in his first coming, then you are not prepared for his second coming. Jesus Christ died on that cross. When he died on that cross, he took responsibility for every sin I've ever committed, every sin you've ever committed. These old hands, every sin that these hands have ever committed, every word that has come off my lips that was displeasing to God, every lie that has come off my lips, every unkind word that has come off my lips, every impure thought that has ever coursed through my mind. When Jesus was on that cross at his first coming, he was taking responsibility for every sin that I've ever committed. He stood before God, so to speak, and he says, "Dennis did that, I take responsibility for it." And he suffered the wrath and judgment of God for my sins upon himself. And at the end, he says, "It is finished. It's paid. It's done." He gave up the ghost, was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. And he made it possible for every man, woman, and child to know for sure that their sins are forgiven, that they have a home in heaven. And until we accept that and receive Him as our personal Savior, we will never be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. May 7th, 1979, I gave my testimony yesterday a little bit. I knelt by my bed at 10:30 at night on a Monday night. I knelt by my bed, an old sinful teenage boy wrecked with sin. I mean, just made a ruin of my life. I cried out to God, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Please come in my heart and life and be my Savior." And that night, Jesus Christ did exactly what He promised He would do, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ came in my life. He forgave my sin. He gave me the gift of God, which is eternal life. He changed my life. And I tell you, that's the first step needs to be done if we're going to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So number one, Jesus says, "I'm coming back. Be ye ready, I'm coming, whether you're ready or not. I'm coming back, I'm coming back. How can I be ready, Lord? First of all, I need to accept what He did at His first coming to know that I'm ready for my second coming." Shortly after we came to Oakland there at Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church, 1993, September of 1993, and I went to the neighbors. I went all around. The neighbors were in a residential area, and I introduced myself. I'm the new pastor, and invited folks out if they didn't have a church. And the fellow next door to us, and a good man, he came, we got to be a bit friends, and I'd be working in the back parking lot and out in the yard or whatever during the weekday, and he'd come over, and he always called me Reverend Leatherman. And he said, "Reverend Leatherman," we'd talk a little bit, and he inevitably, almost every conversation would end up something along these lines: "Boy, we're sure living in the last days, aren't we?" And I said, "Yeah, we sure are." I said, "I believe that." And he'd talk about something going on in the world. And he says, "Oh, we're coming up to the end, aren't we?" "Yep, yep." And finally, one time we were talking a little bit, and I said his name, and I said, "Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that when you die, your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven?" "Oh, no, I'm not worried about that. And here's the interesting thing. He was captivated with the second coming of Christ, but he never accepted what was accomplished at the first coming of Christ. And he was not ready for the second coming. He came to me one day, he said, "Preacher, would you pray for my wife? Reverend Leatherman, would you pray for my wife?" I said, "I sure would." And he told me she's real bad sick. She's in the hospital. I said, "Well, if you don't mind, I'll go up and visit with her. I'll pray with her." He goes, "Oh, that would be wonderful." And so I made my way up and visited with her. By then, she was pretty much in a coma. She wasn't alert at all. But I visited, and a couple of the family were there. And I said, "Well, can I read some scripture and pray?" And they said, "Sure, that would be wonderful." And I read some scripture, had a word of prayer. I started to leave, and he came over to him, and he reached in his pocket, and he handed me a $20 bill. Now, generally, I'm glad when people walk up to me and hand me a $20 bill. But I said, "What's this?" He goes, "Oh, this is for your prayer." I said, "Take your filthy lucre and get out of here." No, I didn't say that. I said, I'm not taking that money. I don't get paid to pray." And he pressed on me and pressed on me. I said, "I'm not taking it. You can do what you want. I'm not taking your money. You don't pay me to pray for your family." He was taught in his denomination, if the priest comes and prays, you got to give him $20 for every prayer. His wife passed away. He came over and he said, "Reverend Leatherman, would you do the funeral for my wife?" I said, "I'd be honored." Did the funeral. Little service, had a little special music. I preached and gave the gospel the best I could. I invited anybody there, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, why don't you call on the Lord? And I helped the people call on the Lord. My neighbors, at the invitation, I said, "If you called on the Lord, you meant it with all your heart, would you raise your hand?" And I looked out, And his hand went up like this. He had trusted Christ as Savior. I talked to him a little afterward. You know what? Then he was ready for the second coming of Christ. When he accepted the first coming of Christ. If you're here this morning, you may be very religious. You may be a good person as far as this world considers a good person. You may pay your bills and be very honest. But I'm telling you, if you don't have Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have eternal life. And you are not ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming back again. And if we're going to be ready for the second coming of Christ, we must accept what was accomplished at the first coming. Second of all, not only must we accept what is accomplished at the first coming of Christ, if we're going to be ready for his return, we must anticipate the second coming of Christ. We must accept what's accomplished the first coming, and we must anticipate the second coming. Look at verse 44 there with me, if you would. Therefore, be ye also ready. Now, I got looking at that word ready, and I got studying that, how it's used in the Bible in different places, the words it comes from. I enjoy doing word studies, and that word ready there means pretty much what you think it would be, what it means. It means to be prepared. It means to be in a state of readiness. One of the definitions I was reading said that by implication, this word means anticipation. Anticipating the Lord coming back, looking forward, getting excited about it. We are going in May. I have a couple guys in the church. We're going down to the Chesapeake Bay. We're going fishing down in the Chesapeake Bay. Now, I don't know about you. I love fishing. I just love it. Bass fishing. We go down to the Gulf and fish down there. I just love it. And I'm telling you, just about every morning, sometime during the morning, I'll stop and think, oh, it's only so many days until I get to go fishing. And I keep watching and waiting for it, anticipating it. And the Lord says that's the way we ought to be for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We get up in the morning and we ought to think, you know what? Maybe today Jesus Christ may come back again. It's the idea of anticipation, anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need to understand, if we're going to anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand a little bit about his return. When Jesus Christ comes back, it's not just going to be a general return, just shows up and judges everybody, saved, go to heaven, unsaved, separate in hell. It's not going to be that way. The Bible very, very clearly teaches that Jesus' return is in two stages. The first stage of his return is what we call the rapture of the church. How many people here are familiar with the rapture of the church? Sure, if you've been around Bible preaching, you're familiar with the rapture of the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up and meet the Lord in the air together with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture is the next event on God's calendar. After a rapture, immediately following the rapture, we have what is called the 7-year tribulation period. That is when God pours out his judgment upon this old earth. There never has been a time like the tribulation period, and there never will be a time like the tribulation period. It is the wrath of God poured out upon mankind on earth. I'm telling you, nobody wants to be left behind for that tribulation period. After the tribulation, 7-year tribulation period, then we have what we refer to as the second advent of Christ. That's the second stage of his return, when he comes to earth in person, visibly, physically, visibly, the whole world sees him, 10,000s of his saints returning with him, our battle of Armageddon, the judgment of the nations, he establishes his 1,000-year millennial reign, and then the new heaven, new earth, and the great white throne judgment. So we need to understand that the next thing we're anticipating is the rapture of the church. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound and we'll be caught up out of here. I often wonder what that, anybody here ever try to imagine what that's going to be like? People all around the world, believers all around the world, instantaneously vanish out of here. Do you ever think this? I wonder what it would be like if the rapture takes place during a church service. Amen. Huh? Amen. Sitting there. Would the church be empty? Or would there be some sitting there? That's a sobering thought. Sobering thought. We are anticipating the rapture of the church. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe night. We don't know. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound. The archangel shall shout. And we'll be changed. Just left. Boom. Pile of clothes. Some dentures. Titanium knees. You get older, you think of this stuff, you know? If we're going to be ready for the Lord's come, we need to anticipate the Lord's come. And Paul anticipated the Lord's return in his lifetime. Come with me if you would. Now keep your place here in Matthew. Come with me if you would. And go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I'll begin reading in verse 16. But I want to look at verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's speaking of the rapture. This is one of the most thorough teachings on the rapture in the Bible. It's taught other places, but Paul is being very thorough. He's writing to this church at Thessalonica. They had got some bad doctrine about the return of Christ, and he was straightening it out. He was helping clarify it. And verse 16, he says this, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." There's the rapture. Then look what he says in verse 17. Now notice the wording here very carefully. He says, then, what's that next word? We which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the rapture. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Did you notice what Paul says there in the beginning of that verse? He's writing to the church at Thessalonica there, and he's clarifying some things about the rapture, the trump of God, the archangel. And then he says this, and we which are alive. He doesn't say those folks who will be alive at the rapture. He says we which are alive. You know what that tells me about what's going on in the head of Paul? He anticipated the Lord coming in his lifetime. He fully expected the rapture of the church before he passed away. Now, by the time you get to 2 Timothy, Paul is becoming obvious that he's probably not going to be raptured. He's going to pass away. He says, time of my departure is at hand. But at this point in time, he fully expected the rapture in his lifetime. And what that tells me is this. You and I have every right in the world to anticipate the rapture of Jesus Christ in our lifetime. Any day now, at any moment. You know, it's interesting. The Bible tells us that we're not to worry about tomorrow, right? The Bible tells us that, you know, be not anxious, what shall be on the morrow, be careful for nothing. He tells us not to worry about tomorrow. But the Bible never tells us to not be prepared for what may happen tomorrow. The Bible never tells us to neglect what the future holds. The Bible tells us to never ignore what the Bible says the future holds. If you would, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. I'd like for you to see a verse here. We are to anticipate, if we're going to be ready for the second coming of Christ, we need to anticipate that. Be looking forward, anticipating it, ready for it. Proverbs chapter 22, if you would. For some reason, this verse just strikes a chord with me. Proverbs 22 and verse number 3. Proverbs 22 and verse number 3. Notice what the Bible says here. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man, a man that has some wisdom about him, a man that thinks things through, A man that is aware of reality. A prudent man, look at this, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. In other words, a prudent man, a wise man, is going to pay attention to what the future holds. He foresees things. He says, you know what? Jesus Christ could come back today. But the simple don't even think about that. They just pass on. They just live their life as if Jesus is never coming back again. They just live their life as if there's no accountability. I tell you, every Christian that is wise, is prudent, is going to anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. They're going to be ready for it, going to be watching for it. And so, by the way, Pastor mentioned that next Sunday you have Lord's Supper. Did I hear that correctly? Next Sunday we have Lord's Supper, the third Sunday night of every month. We have Lord's Supper generally. And did you know, 1 Corinthians 11:26, one of the purposes of the Lord's Supper is to keep before us the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, do this unto his return. So everything about the Bible, everything about the Christian life is to focus and watch and wait for the return of Jesus Christ, anticipating it. Our motto for 2022 at Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church is, maybe today our Lord will come. And we have that up everywhere, put on bulletin. Back at the beginning of the year, the first Sunday, I'd put on the cover of the bulletin, maybe today our Lord shall return. Now, the secretary's office is just beside my office, and Jackie, one of our secretaries, was in there, and she proofreads the bulletin for me before we run it off. And I was sitting in my office, I was working on some things, and I printed it out, and I heard her there, and she got it, and I heard her, she was talking to herself. She talks to herself a lot. She says it's the only way she gets intelligent conversation. But I could hear her talking, and she was reading over it, and I heard her say this. I heard her say, maybe today our Lord shall return. And then she said this to herself. She didn't know I could hear her. She said this, maybe today our Lord shall return. She said, oh, that would be wonderful. You know what that is? That's anticipation. Ready. That would be wonderful if Jesus came back today. That would be wonderful. Be ready. Be ready, watching, anticipating. You know, sometimes drive down the road and I see the clouds in a certain formation and the sun shining through the clouds. Oh, maybe that's it. I'm getting ready to be ready. It doesn't happen. Ah, oh, right. You know? Or a car will drive by and it'll backfire. I think, oh, that's the Trump. Anticipate. Wouldn't that be, isn't that a wonderful way to live? Man, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I feel less at home in this old world the longer I live. I just feel out of place. This world's not my home. And just anticipating, Lord, now, are you going to call me today? Are you coming today? We had a number of years ago, we had some guys breaking into our church. And they broke in on Sunday nights, like middle of the night, Sunday night, anticipating there would be some money from the offerings. And this happened numerous times over a several month period. And they did get some money, not a whole lot, but they got some. Now, the sheriff was great, and they were working on it, but we kind of picked up this pattern. We knew it was Sunday nights, and it seemed like about every second, third Sunday night, something would happen. So one of my deacons, Tom and I, we got this great idea that we were going to hide in the church, and we're going to get these guys. So we armored up, you know. I mean, we had our little arsenal there. We're ready. And so it's a church. We had church. So we have church 7 o'clock Sunday night. So by 9:30, folks are leaving. And things are quieting down. We shut the lights down. And we're sitting back in the fellowship hall, which is by the church offices. And we're sitting there. I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. It's dark out. Where every little sound. About 10:30, 11 o'clock. We're pretty bored by now, but we heard over in the kitchen area, we heard this little noise. We're ready. So we were sneaking over the kitchen, and we look, here's a little mouse. Kaboom! And no, we didn't shoot the mouse. It's like, oh, we thought we got him. So when we get back there, you know, buildings creak and groan a lot. About 12:30 in the morning, that old roof kind of creaked. Oh, they're coming through the window. By about 3 o'clock, we're half asleep. We finally said, Philly, we're going home. We never did. We didn't get the guys. The police did later. But I got thinking about that. That's the way we ought to live as Christians. Did you notice? Come back here in Matthew. Did you notice what he says there in verse 43? He says, but know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken into. Therefore, be ye also ready, just like Tom and I, there in the church, every little sound, every little creak, oh, that must be the thief coming. We got to get him. But we live our lives anticipating. Boy, there's some news report. Russia advances into Ukraine. And as tragic as that is, you know what my first thought was? I'll bet Jesus is coming back. Now, we don't know when. We don't set the dates. He made that very clear. We don't know when the rapture is going to happen. But we ought to anticipate it and be watching for it. And every little opportunity, say, am I ready? Am I ready? So number one, if I'm going to be ready for the return of Christ, I must accept what was accomplished at the first coming. If I'm going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ, I must anticipate that. Be watching and waiting for it. Let me give you a third thought. If I'm going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ, I need to be alert to deception. Come back here to the first part of chapter 24. And in verse number 3, the disciples said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign? Now listen, watch this. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And the very first thing Jesus says, the very next words out of his lips, when the disciples say, what will be the sign of your coming and return? The very first thing he says, take heed that no man deceive you. And what I'm trying to say is this, when his disciples asked the Lord about his return, the Lord warned them about deception. I believe in studying this passage and other passages, I am convinced that the chief characteristic of the world before the return of Jesus Christ will be massive deception on all levels. He comes down through there. If you would, notice, look at verse 5. It says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Look at verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Look at verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Over and over and over, he goes through there. You want to know what the characteristics of the world will be when I come back? You don't want to know what the signs are of my second coming? First and foremost, there's going to be massive deception in the world. On all levels, there'll be deception within the name of Christianity. You understand, right, that not everything that calls itself Christian is Christian. Not everyone that names the name of Christ is following and committed to the biblical Christ. The criteria for truth is the Word of God. Period. There's deception in the religious world. There's deception in the political world. There's deception in the media. I don't know about you, but I got to the point where I don't trust the media either side. I don't trust it. And by the way, if you're, this is just my opinion, if you're getting medical advice off of social media, you're a knucklehead. I have people show me the weirdest stuff. Well, it's on YouTube. It has to be true. Are you kidding me? Listen to me. We need to be very, very careful who we allow to influence us. We need to be very, very careful who we give ear to. Brother, God's word is our sole authority. It is truth. And Jesus warned that in the last days there will be massive deception. One of the best ways to prepare for the Lord's return is to make sure that my life and my faith lines up with the Word of God. And my living needs to line up with the Word of God. Satan is a liar. He'll present himself as an angel of light, his ministers as angels of light. And I tell you what, we live in a world, even within the religious world, can take that which is wrong and make it seem so right, and take that which is right and make it seem so wrong. This world has perfected the ability of taking evil and making it appear virtuous. We live in a world that celebrates rebellion against God. We live in a world that wants to indoctrinate our children in falsehood and perversion. And Jesus says, you want to be ready for my return? You want to know what it's going to be like? You watch out for deception. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Make sure my life and faith line up with the Word of God. Make sure my church lines up with the Word of God. Let me give you a last thought here real quickly. Jesus says, be ready. I'm coming back whether you're ready or not. How can I be ready? Number one, I got to accept what He has accomplished at His first coming. I need to know I'm saved. And by the way, let me throw this out. Every saved person will be raptured. Every saved person will be raptured. Only saved people will be raptured. Now, I'll tell you, if you've heard the gospel and you've had an opportunity to be saved and you refused it, and that rapture takes place, you're left behind. And Paul, under the inspiration of God, told the church at Thessalonica that those that refuse the love of the truth, they will send delusions and they'll believe a lie. And a person that had an opportunity to be saved before the rapture and refused it will not be saved after the rapture. My wife was witnessing to a lady a number of years ago. And it was back when, remember those books came out, Left Behind series? Anybody remember that? They were huge. Do you know those books taught false doctrine? I read the first few. I want to know what was going on. I read the first few. And in there, they taught that if you're not saved, you reject the gospel and the rapture takes place, oh, you can quick get saved. My wife was witnessing to this lady, an older lady. And she pressed upon her, she needs to get saved, need to get saved. She goes, I'm reading those Left Behind books. This is what she said to my wife. She said, when I see that rapture take place, I'm going to get saved. My wife said, you're mistaken. You need to get saved before that rapture takes place. The lady never would trust Christ when I see that rapture. I tell you, we need to know for sure we've been saved. We need to anticipate that coming. We need to be alert to deception. Here's my final thought. We need to be actively serving the Lord. Would you turn with me one more passage? Turn with me to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. All saved people will be raptured. Only saved people will be raptured. And if I want to be ready, if I want to be prepared for that meeting of the Lord in the air, I need to be actively serving the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse, verse 6. Jesus is resurrected. He's about to be ascend to heaven. Verse 6, it says, When they therefore were come together, Jesus and his disciples, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now they're still thinking kingdom. Lord's got the church lined up. Look what he says in verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You know what he's saying? He's saying, it's none of your business when I come back. It's not for you to know that. That's none of your business. You be ready at any moment. By the way, let me throw this out real quick. Be careful about people setting dates for the Lord's return. Jesus said, it's none of your business, the date. You prepare every day, every day. Then look what he says in verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Lord saying, listen. They said, Lord, when are you coming back? Are you going to set up the kingdom? When? Lord says, that's none of your business, the timing of all this. You be ready, and while you're waiting on my return, you be out there being a witness in some Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The best thing we can do to be ready for the coming of Christ is to be reaching others with the gospel. Amen. Preaching the gospel, sending out missionaries, knocking on doors, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing our testimony with our neighbors and workers if we're going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. When I got saved in 1979, I'd been working in a meatpacking plant outside of Philly there for a number of years. That was a rough crowd there. I mean, they were drugs and drinking heavy, a lot of ex-cons. Some of them still were cons. They weren't ex-cons, they still were cons. But I mean, it was a rough crowd. And God saved me. And Monday night, Tuesday, I come into work and, it was just different. God, overnight, God had changed my life. And we were there a couple hours. Finally, guys coming up to me and they're saying, Leatherman, what in the world happened to you? Something's different. And I said, well, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. What? And I'm there, yeah. And they're going out on breaks, you know, getting stoned and going out at lunch and smoking dope and stuff. And I'm sitting in there and I'm not going out. And they said, what in the world got into you, Leatherman? A few weeks into my salvation, maybe a month or two, the church there had a prophecy conference. Now, I don't know, a lot of churches don't do this anymore, but years ago, churches used to have big prophecy conferences. And the church I was at had this huge conference. They had this fellow come in, and he had all this. This was back before PowerPoint and all of that stuff, but he had all these backdrops put up and charts, and he had, what were those things called, slides? What's it called? Projectors with the slides, and it would come through and it'd be upside down. He'd have to quick turn it over. And anyway, he's doing this multimedia presentation on the second coming of Christ, and it blew my mind. I never heard anything about this before. The rapture, and the first night he spent on all the rapture and caught up out of here, and he had these visuals, and I thought, man, this is amazing. And then he talked about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. And he's talking about the battle of Armageddon, going into detail. And I'm just, And every day, that next morning, I would go into work and I'd tell these guys, I said, you won't believe what's going to happen. And I told them all about the rapture. And they're like, yeah, whatever, Leatherman. And I said, oh, the Antichrist is awful. And the mark of the beast, don't get it. If you guys are here, don't get the mark. I didn't know. And all week long, all they heard from me, and they just thought I was nuts. That next Monday morning, then we hit the weekend. That next morning, I did something I never did. I overslept about an hour and a half. We started work at 6. I woke up, it was 6. I'm flying around getting dressed. I go racing to work. They're all out on the floor working away. I'm back in the locker room. I'm getting my stuff on, uniform, my knives and everything. And I come walking out there. And when I walked out there, every eye on that floor turned to me. I'm like, okay. And I went over and got my position, started working, and the guy next to me, Jim, he came over. He says, Leatherman, I sure am glad to see you. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, we all got in here and you weren't at your locker. We started working and you weren't at your position. He said, we thought that rapture thing happened. I said, well, you better get saved because it will happen. Amen. You know what? A bunch of those guys eventually did trust Christ. Did trust Christ. Jesus coming back again. It may be today. Are you ready? Have you been saved? Are you anticipating it? Are you living your life according to the Word of God? And are you actively trying to win others? That's what we need to do if we're going to please the Lord at His return. Let's pray together. Father in heaven.